Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
It is indeed. You're of course tuned into 95 BFM, and as the ominous voice said, it's time for your weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little. This week, Andrew Little joins us. Just as he is about to step onto an aeroplane, Lillian Hanley speaks to him about the crime fund, drones, and road safety changes. Minister Little is, however, heading to Whangarei tomorrow to visit the district court. So Lillian starts by asking what such a visit involves.
There's a number of interesting things happening up there, one of which is that the Whangarei District Court has been piloting a specialist sexual violence court, so approaching the issues of sexual violence for both victims and perpetrators in a different way. That pilot is about to come to an end. I'm just keen to get in some insights in how that's gone. There'll be a formal evaluation of it, but it's the sort of approach that providing it works well and the feedback is good, that I'd like to see deployed across the district court network around New Zealand, and particularly when it comes to sexual violence cases, because of the traumatic experience that it can be for victims.
So this was actually happening before those reforms we spoke about last week?
Yeah, the reforms were, actually the ideas that the basis of those reforms announced have been around for a while. There was the Law Commission did a report a few years ago. Amy Adams, who was then the minister, she tried to get them up. She couldn't get enough support. This government decided that, they will make a difference. They don't compromise pre-trial rights. So that'll make a difference. But what I'm keen to know from the visit to the Whangarei District Court and the way they've operated the Specialist Sexual Violence Court is what else is different in that court, and what has the effect been and how successful has it been. So we're keen to get that information.
So who do you meet when you go there?
I meet court staff, I meet the judges or the judge who sits in that court. I'm not quite sure how I will get insights, at least during the visit I'm there, from victims who have been through it, but I'm told that they've had feedback from victims, so no doubt I will hear about that.
Just in terms of noting the ministerial diary as well, this is not something that many governments have done. Is that correct? In the sense that there is now like a regular kind of update as to what ministers are doing and when and where?
I'm not quite sure what the previous practice. I know that we were, one of the concerns that is often expressed is through a minister's meeting this, because it's often easy, particularly for powerful lobbyists and powerful interests, to get meetings with ministers that nobody ever knows about. So this government, and I think the Green Party has been very strong on this, has been very keen to see a greater level of transparency so that people can see who is getting the ear of ministers.
You've just made an announcement about a wellbeing focus for the crime fund. First up, can you tell me what the crime fund is and what it does?
Yeah, this is the process of crime fund. So this is money that when the police get a conviction, and it's usually for people convicted of drug offences, if they've been manufacturing, sometimes fraud, they then go to the court in the civil action to recover any wealth or any income that can be attributable to the person's criminal offending. And the police, they've been building up a track record of this. Some of that money then goes into a fund for a range of purposes. Up until now, it has been largely around crime fighting, which is very important, particularly dealing with organised crime. What we've said is that we want to broaden out the use of it, given that the amount available is increasing year by year. So greater support for victims, particularly where those have been at the victim end of people manufacturing and peddling drugs, people who need help with their addictions, treatment and things like that. So put some money towards that. But it's also finding innovative ways of dealing with offenders who are victims as well, to get them off an offending track and therefore reduce their victimisation. So a little bit broader, but bearing in mind that this is a useful fund to also assist in the crime-fighting effort.
So that money actually comes from crimes itself?
Yeah, this is where there are crimes that generate an income for the perpetrator of the crime. We now have the basis to go after that money and then put that back into, doesn't all just go back to the government, some of it does, but we want to make sure some of it goes back into, in a sense, to benefit the victims of that particular form of criminal offending, and particularly when it comes to drugs, is provide support and assistance to victims of drug peddling so that they can, you know, get off their addictions, turn their lives around, and in a sense, you know, get the benefit of that.
And you're saying that that's the new sort of well-being focus, those elements of it?
Yes,
so,
that's right, yes.
So how do you then kind of decide how that money gets used, or is it that people apply for the fund? Are they outside of the criminal justice system? How does it work?
Yeah, so up until now, it's been government departments, mainly justice, corrections, police, who have made applications. What we've done is now said we want to involve NGOs who are dealing with, you know, the victim and, for that matter, the offender end, to partner up with government departments or to put in bits themselves, so that we broaden its practical use and practical application.
I'm going to move on to drones. I'm not sure how much you can talk about this, but there's been a big drone announcement. Can you explain anything about this? Or it seems to be part of the transport system, is that correct?
Yeah, it's part of it. It comes under the transport. Civil aviation now is, you know, concerned enough about the number of drones and what they've been used for. They do some regulation of drones. It's now pretty clear a lot more drones are being used for commercial uses. And beyond just sort of filming things and taking images, it's now carrying things. And to the point now where there's talk about drones being used to carry passengers. So this is about kind of getting ahead of the curve and starting to think about what we need to put in place to keep people safe, and to make sure that those who are operating and using do so in a safe way.
So, I mean, drones, like you say, there are many sort of beneficial aspects to them, and what Phil Twyford has announced is that, you know, they'll be doing tasks that are time-intensive, expensive and risky, so monitoring crops, inspecting power lines and helping with emergency operations. What do you say to people who see this as perhaps more opportunities for surveillance?
Yeah, and I think that is the way too, that the whole issue about privacy is huge amongst that. Fortunately, we're also putting through Parliament revised and reformed privacy laws that will assist in that. And I think that the laws at the moment already, the civil aviation laws already lean very heavily into the privacy space to make sure that certainly in built-up areas, drones are not being used for encroaching on other people's privacy and being used for surveillance.
A road safety announcement has been made. The focus includes improving roads and putting in median barriers, getting safer cars on the road, and reviewing driver licensing with a view to making actual road users safer. I was wondering if you could explain the changes to licensing. How will this work?
There's a tension between making it really difficult to get licenses, and so a lot of young people who fail tests and can't afford to reset or reset multiple times end up just driving anyway. So it's trying to get a better balance, make sure the driver education is very good, and we're trying to make that more accessible too and bring it and make it available in schools, but not making it so tough that people don't get a licence and drive anyway. So there's that aspect of it. But look, we know we have a major challenge with safe driving and the quality of driving. The previous government, their view was you just spend billions and billions on roads and trying to fix the problem that way. What you end up doing is fixing up some roads, but not many of them. We want to make sure that the spending on roads is going to be more equitable right across the country, and that when it comes to unsafe driving practices, that we address the real problem, which is, you know, the quality of driver education and accessibility of driver education and testing. So that's the difference in the approach.
And that tension that you speak on, that is really important, because there's, I mean, it's huge, right, where there are huge numbers of people that are driving unlicensed, and it's when people can't afford it or can't have access, like you say, what are you supposed to do? We live in a city that you have to drive in.
Yeah, and I, from my, with my Minister of Justice hat on, I know that the entry point for most young offenders into the criminal justice system is a driving offence. It's driving unlicensed, and it's often a downward spiral from there. But then, you know, they have a not allowed to drive, sometimes lose a job as a result, can't get a job. I mean, it creates other, you know, quite significant problems. So we do need to get on top of it, and we're trying to find a better way that achieves both safety but also accessibility.
And I know there was an initiative back in 2015 where some places were, I guess it was that kind of idea of taking the situation case by case and not necessarily ticketing somebody if they were driving unlicensed, but trying to push them into education or how to go towards getting your license. But then there becomes stigma around that, right?
Yeah, I mean, in fairness to the police, and particularly through the EWI Justice panels, I know they've been taking a better approach in the sense of, you get caught without a license, all right, rather than kind of turn you into a criminal and get a conviction and all that sort of stuff, let's work on the problem, let's get you your license. And I've seen that in action, and it's gone really well. But it's not widespread, and we need to do better. But it does underscore the major problem we've got is that the testing has got so hard in many cases, we've got to have a look at that. And make sure we're getting the balance right between good education, safe driving, but accessibility as well.
And so do you think those issues will be included in that review of driver licensing?
Yes, that's coming from all quarters, coming from the rural sector, coming from, you know, folks in the city, it's coming from all over. So that will be addressed.
Finally, there are, I think, four inquiries into Oranga Tamariki that have now been announced, one of which is a Māori-led inquiry following a big hui hosted by Whānau Ora in the weekend. When it comes to these inquiries, if Oranga Tamariki is found to have acted beyond what they are legislated to do, or just generally in a damaging way for that matter to the baby and the baby's mum, what will then happen? What's the likelihood that any recommendations are actually implemented?
Look, I'm not quite sure. There's four inquiries. They will each have a different focus. We want to see those inquiries. Oranga Tamariki, look, they've got the job. They've been charged with the job of keeping children safe, but they've got to do so in a way that is also equally culturally sensitive, and that doesn't re-traumatise children. So the priority is the children, and we've got to find a way to make that work effectively. I think the voices I hear from EWI are partner with us, don't exclude us, because we have something to bring to the table. And if we can, you know, get that equation working right, then that's good.
And do you think that there's a sort of...
I'm really being told I've got to get on the plane.
Okay. Thank you so much, Minister. Have a great week.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.